This. I haven't done this for a couple months, so I'm a little jittery, but the Holy Spirit will take over in no time. Thank you, Jesus. So, first of all, I just want to thank everybody here. Has anyone heard of Teen Challenge before? That's great. That's wonderful. Are there any Teen Challenge sponsors in the room right now? That's wonderful. I always take this time to thank the Teen Challenge sponsors. The sponsorship program is the backbone to our ministry. Without the sponsors, I wouldn't have been able to go through the program. I was dead in addiction, in a jail cell when Jesus came to me. And when it came time to leave, he led me out to Teen Challenge. And then since being at Teen Challenge, I have found that even though I thought that I was unlovable, that I was this spotted, you know, there's other sheep among the flock, but I thought I was just too spotted to fit in. But I learned this actually at Horizon 2, was that Jesus' blood covers all those spots and blemishes, and we are all seen just beautiful and remarkable under God's eyes. So I thank the sponsors each time for this, because since going to Teen Challenge, I end up working with Teen Challenge out in New Brunswick. I had troubles going from the hood where I lived on Avenue C in Saskatoon here, right by the Salvation Army. I had troubles going to the east side without getting arrested before Teen Challenge. So here I was out working in New Brunswick for Teen Challenge. Got to see the ocean. That was pretty cool. And then God had called me back here, and I've gone to Bible college. I got married. I don't actually work at Teen Challenge. I'm an addictions counselor at the Lighthouse. I'm sure people have heard of the Lighthouse. So God has been just richly blessing me and showing this reckless love to bring me back when I start to move left or right. And I just want to thank the sponsors for all of that. Is there anyone here that did not get one of these pamphlets on the way? Is there a family? We'll just give it out. Does every family have one of these? Can we hand out to the people that have their hands up? So who here would like to help change a life? Hey? Yes. So this is one way that we do this. And so we'll pass these all out. And the Teen Challenge program started it by one man's just humble obedience to God. I got to see if this thing works now. I turned the switch. Oh, there it is. Up. Could you switch to the next slide, please? Okay, no. I'm going too far. We'll go to the first one. Back. Okay. The humble beginnings of Teen Challenge. In 1958, a small town pastor, David Wilkerson, heard the voice of God to go to Brooklyn, New York, to go to speak to a bunch of young men that were on trial for murder. So who wants to go tell a bunch of people on trial for murder that Jesus loves them? Who can I show us? Praise be to God. And so do I. Thank you, Jesus. So he listened to the voice of God. He went to go tell him, that Jesus loves him. And he just kept going to him, and Jesus loves him. And he had these big youth rallies and stuff. And it was completely different from everybody else, right? Everyone kind of told him that you were wasting your time. In fact, even the people, these gang members, told him that he was wasting their time. And as you see here, the guy up there, Nicky Cruz, is exchanging his bat for a Bible. Now, Nicky Cruz was in this gang, and he was this, like, warlord, and he was always fighting. And at one time, he actually assaulted David Wilkerson. And what did David do? He grabbed him, he started to pray for him. Right? He started to pray for him. And as he prayed for him, David Wilkerson felt something that he had never felt before, because nobody had ever prayed for him. Right, so when we see people that are in addiction and stuff, maybe that's what we need to be doing, right? Can I pray for you? Lay hands on them. Because in our addiction, actually ask before you lay hands on them, but in our addiction, there's so many times where people just look the other way, right? How many people do you think are here? Let's say there's 100. If we were to put 20 people's hands up, we could see the indication, because 1 in 5 people will suffer from addiction or mental illness. 1 in 5, right? And so all of us, we're no different. We are no different. And so the Teen Challenge program, we bring people in, we meet them where they're at, right? And we focus on biblical principles. Nicky Cruz became the very first He was the very first director of a teen challenge in Brooklyn, New York. Since then, Teen Challenge has grown to go into over 82 countries, maybe 83 countries now, and over 1,100 centers around the world. That's a lot of changed lives, amen? So usually, did this work? Can we get the next slide? Usually, we would bring up the guys and they'd do some singing. And a few months ago, I wanted to sing so bad, so I came up and I sang with the guys and I sang so bad and we got our first complaint, actually. So we're not singing. But usually when we're singing and the guys are up here and they're singing Amazing Grace, it says that my chains are gone and I've been set free and my God, my Savior, had ransomed me. And that was the song that broke me. Right, it was my first day in this chapel. I remember going into Teen Challenge. There's a set of green stairs going up there, and I'm thinking, what am I doing here, right? And I go in, and where the peak is, there's the chapel. It used to be this pistachio green, which wasn't that attractive, but there's all these guys, and they're all singing, and I'm like, okay, well, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. So I go in there, and I just come from jail, so I'm just like all solid like that, right? Just not cracking to anything, and then so I'm listening to these other guys singing, yeah, those guys are crazy. And then those words came on, my chains are gone, I've been set free, and my God, my Savior had ransomed me. And I looked down, there weren't any handcuffs on my hands. I looked down at my feet, there was no shackles on my feet. My chains were gone, I had been set free, my God, my Savior had ransomed me. I had gotten bail to go from jail, I'd been there for 7.5 months, and I was brought to this place with love and with care. And these guys, they came around, and they all prayed over me, you know, and I asked God for forgiveness, and it was just amazing, absolutely amazing. But I wasn't used to people touching me, actually, so I was just like, what are you guys doing, right? But so after a while, I got used to that, too. But the program's different for each person. The program's different for each person. Each person will have that moment at Teen Challenge where they felt the Holy Spirit come into their life and guide them, and they've never been the same since. So I ask you guys to get to talk to these guys because you'll hear wonderful stories. I'm very honored that I'm here. As an addictions counselor, I get to refer people to Teen Challenge now. Not everybody's open to it, so I meet them where they're at, and there's one guy that's going to share his story later. His name's Jason, and I can't wait to hear this because I haven't heard his testimony yet, and I did a referral for him out to Teen Challenge. And so I just want to thank you guys, and Jason, if you could come up and share your story, that'd be just wonderful. Next slide, please.
Next one, actually. Sorry. Good day. So I would like to begin with a piece of scripture here. It's my favorite one I've found so far. It's John, 1 John, number 7. It's tell him about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. This one spoke to me in particular because in my past career, I've done a lot of public speaking, and most people hate it. I love it. It just fits my personality. And reading that scripture, for me, it sets in my mind the point that hopefully now when I do some public speaking, I can speak to people out there and actually give them some hope and help them understand where I came from, where they might be, and how there is hope in Christ in the future. So I'll be in a little bit of my story here. I always like to say that I am no expert on alcoholism. I am an expert on my story. I was there when it happened. Well, actually, I wasn't there. I was physically present at the time, but I really wasn't there when it happened. I was born and raised in Indian Head, Saskatchewan, so way down south. I have a very loving family, very supportive family, two younger brothers, two parents. Our religious background is I'm a United Church boy, so I graduated Sunday school, did all that stuff. School for me was a bit difficult because although I had a loving family, very supportive, they couldn't protect me from what was behind our property, which was a guy who was a little bit older than I was, who I'm sure we all have heard the story before, who took me and abused me, basically. I really don't like talking about that. What I can say is it really destroyed my self-confidence and my sense of self-worth. So when I went through elementary school, high school, I was the kid who I would be hiding behind that upright there on the stage. I didn't say boo to anyone. I was afraid to talk, to speak, to do anything, right? Graduated high school. I got 50s and 60s in high school. I went, did a bunch of menial jobs that got me nowhere in life. When I was at the age of 22, I got a chance to, it's called mature enrollment at the U of S, where they don't look like your high school marks anymore. So I got that chance to enter the U of S. And I'm proud to say I am a proud Husky graduate. I have a degree in political studies. So if anyone wants to talk politics with me afterwards, I'm your Huckleberry. So for 3 of the 4 years of university, drinking really wasn't a problem. I went and did average university things. I went once a month, and I whooped it up with my fellow students. That fourth year, though, it was, I'd met a girl in university, fell madly in love, and things were great for three of the 4 years, and then she took off with my best friend, which, again, left me heartbroken. That was the beginning of my alcohol problem, because I discovered that if I consumed a massive amount of alcohol in a short period of time, it had the effect of it put me to sleep. And if I was asleep, I didn't have to think about it anymore. So that became the next 10 years of my life. I kind of followed that pattern. I got done university, and I took a job at the Science Center in Regina for 2 years. And that 2 years was a bit of a blur for me, because I like to say I lived the lifestyle of a very small-scale rock star, because my job was to take programs out on the road. So I would come in to work on a Monday morning, fill up my van, leave by 10 a.m., and I would arrive back at the center at, 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. I had no accountability to anyone during that week. We stayed in different hotel rooms all over the province, and I mean, I've been to Buffalo Narrows, Uranium City, places like that. So for that entire week, I said I had no accountability to anyone. I did my own thing. I got up on stage. I performed. I came back to an empty hotel room, and I got very lonely. And so I went out and did typical things that people do in small towns. I drank it up, and it didn't get me anywhere. It, like I said, that 2 years was really a blur for me. And I came home back to Saskatoon. I missed Saskatoon. I took a job at a funeral home. I actually worked at Hillcrest Memorial Gardens in Saskatoon for a while. And that really, to be honest with you, it destroyed my faith in God for about 6 months. It is no fun burying kids. I buried quite a few of them. And it exacerbated my alcohol problem, because I would come home after a funeral like that or some tragic death, car accidents, cancer, and I would ask why. I'm not very proud of the fact that one day in particular was a rough week. We'd buried a couple kids. I came home on a Friday. I had a couple drinks, and I looked at the sky, and I let loose with a sentence full of enough four-letter words to make a sailor blush, and they were all directed at God himself. I lost my way, and I lost my faith. I ended up stumbling around for, a couple more years after that. The real downfall came. I remember specifically the day I ended up somehow living at the Lighthouse, and I had gone out. I did have a job at the time. I got done my job at just after noon. I went to the liquor store. I got a 26 of vodka. I remember I phoned my mother, because my mother always got concerned if I didn't phone her during the day to let her know that I was okay. So I phoned my mother, let her know things were okay. I cracked that 26 of vodka. I remember taking about the first 3 drinks, and that's all I remember. That was just afternoon. I woke up at 4 a.m. in RUH emergency room, and with 2 IVs in me and things coming out of other places, and I had no idea how I got there. None whatsoever. At this point, I realized I needed help really badly. What happened was I met this really burly man who's sitting up front here. His name is Tommy. And we had a man-to-man chat, and Tommy said, "Jason," he said, "you are going to Teen Challenge." I remember specifically he said that, "you are, there's no, would you like to, no, you're going to Teen Challenge." you've done enough to your parents, which I have. We'll get to that in a second here. We signed up, and I thought, what am I doing? I grew up in a household, again, a very loving family, but National Geographic was my religion. That's where my background is, as far as like where the earth comes from, where human beings came from. So I thought, wow, this isn't going to work for me, right? I struggled a bit my first month there, but Tommy was talking about that magic moment when you realize that you let the Holy Spirit enter your soul and you feel lifted up. That moment occurred for me about a month into my program. I was mentioning to a couple of my roommates, we all live in a dorm setting. We don't have a room to ourselves. I had about three roommates at the time. And I was kind of bemoaning the fact that one of the last jobs I had before I entered Teen Challenge, I worked at a paint store in Saskatoon. And the assistant manager there lived an alternative lifestyle. So he wore a pentagram. He was believed in putting spells on people. He ordered potions from all over the world, like Transylvania. One day, we got in a bit of an argument, he and I. It was a Friday afternoon. And I left, and I thought that was the end of the argument. I came back on a Monday morning, and he came up to me with a big smile on his face. He said, Jason, he said, I want you to know that after our argument this weekend, he said, I went home, he said, I put a spell on you, Jason. I said, okay. He said, I put a spell on you, wishing you nothing but bad harm. You know, you did all this dark occult stuff, right? And I, from that point on, I really did feel like I'm one of these hardcore science people. If I can't see it, it didn't happen. But at the same time, in the back of my head, I'm going, you never know, right? I don't know. And I felt this evil presence over me. And sure enough, bad things started to happen to me. When I entered Teen Challenge, a month into my program, I admitted to some of my roommates this what had happened with the story. And one of my good friends there, who's a graduate, his name is Corey, I told him the story, and he asked me that night, he said, are you willing to accept Jesus Christ into your life, because there is a fix for this. We can get rid of this curse. And I said, yeah, I think I am. So he grabbed my hand. He did a healing prayer over me. All the other guys came and they put their hands on my shoulders and we exorcised that demon, because I can't explain it. In that moment, I felt this dark presence leave my body and a sense of peace kind of come over me. And that peace has stayed with me for the 6 months that I've been in the program. So praise be to God for that. I can't explain it, but I know it's there. And I can feel the Holy Spirit working through me even as I speak here. So my ending statement is this. I really have to give credit to Mr. Tommy here. I'm glad you're here. This is the first time I've done this in front of you, and I can't even find the words of what you mean to me and what you did for me. Before entering Teen Challenge, my father, who means everything to me, basically what he said to me, my last phone call with him, he said, I'm done with you, Jason. I'm done. It wasn't that he didn't love me. He just didn't know how to deal with me, and he couldn't do it to himself. It was killing him to be around me. So he said, I'm done. Entering Teen Challenge, with Tommy's help here, I am proud to say that last weekend I had a pass. It was my birthday, and the tradition of my family is that you get to have your birthday supper, whatever you want. So I got to spend the evening with my parents, and my brothers, and my niece, which just a couple months before that, they were done with me. That would have never happened. They were ready to cut ties, and I would be that guy living on the street. So, thank you again. You have no idea what it means to me. With that, you guys, all I have to say is if you know someone who's in need of help, get them help. Again, part of my testimony is I hope that my story, I did it. I was going nowhere in life. I didn't have the marks in university, but somehow I managed to get through it, and I did it. I was falling on my face in a deep in addiction. I did it, all with the grace of God. So with that being said, everyone, keep on rocking in the free world, and have a happy Sunday.
Hey, Jason, do you have a favorite scripture? Do you have a favorite scripture?
That one that I just read.
Okay. What was it? 1 John. Okay, yes. Wonderful. Thanks. So, yeah, Jason, I just want to God goes all the glory. And it, that was just God had definitely, his hand has been upon this. And it wasn't that I said, okay, Jason, you're going just to Teen Challenge. It was, he has been, like, he's had the psychoeducational approach at different treatment, at another treatment center, a couple of them. And so at that point, the mental health and addiction services has definitely given you, he had been through their thing. And so I was like, what I've got to offer is something different, right? Something whole, something that'll fill up that hole. Because what addiction does is it makes such a hole. And there's this hole that we have for the things that happen in our life. And we think that we can fill it with education, but that hole is there still. Or alcohol, we can fill it up for about 20 minutes, and then that hole just keeps getting bigger. And as we drink or we use drugs, that hole gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally, what we have is this Jesus-size hole that only Jesus can fill. And so that is the experience that I found at Teen Challenge, that Jesus filled that hole that was greater than any addiction, and he has brought me through so many things. So keep going, Jason, and I thank you for coming up here and sharing. So we talked earlier about the sponsorship program. So for $40 a month, I sponsor a guy out at Teen Challenge right now, and God has richly blessed my life. And so it's my prayer that the guys that speak today, or even the guys that are with us, that we can get a sponsor for each one of these guys. So if Jason's story had touched your heart, and you'd like to sponsor Jason specifically, I can meet people at the sponsor table later. And there's a number at the bottom of these sponsorship cards, number 282, and that's the number for Jason if anyone would like to walk alongside and partner with us, with Jesus, and just to help continue to bring life and to bring light into Jason's life. Dylan, it'd be my honor if you would come up here and share your story. Thank you.
Hello. It's kind of weird. Before I came to Teen Challenge, I thought I looked really good. I thought that was an attractive guy right there. When I was a little kid, I was a dreamer. You know, like little kids do, dreaming I had like superpowers or anything, or like dream jobs. But I never dreamed about being an addiction. I don't think any kid grows up wanting to be an addict. And it's something that just takes over you. It doesn't matter who you are, what background you came from, what you have going for you, it will take you down with it. It will crumble you into nothing. I started abusing drugs when I was about 14 years old, and that kept going until I was about 16 when I found cocaine and developed a pretty deadly addiction to that. Cocaine, I started to sell it to support my habit, all the while living in an illusion that I didn't have a problem and just convincing myself of all these false realities. And I ended up getting thousands and thousands of dollars in debt with many people. I've been robbed at gunpoint because of that debt. I finished high school, and I took welding at St. in Calgary, and I missed 78% of my theory classes because I was high all the time. I don't honestly think I retained any information from that time. And it's weird because you go through this, and you don't believe that you're an addict. I never thought I was an addict. I just thought that I enjoyed doing it too much. I did get clean off that for a while, but I had this ignorance in my head that, like, oh, I can do all these drugs and I can quit fine with months going by without thinking of them. So I can do that with anything, right? And I'm sure all of you have heard in the news about fentanyl. That took me by storm. It became such a physical dependency that it utterly destroyed my life. I went from being a pretty honest kid with good morals and values to somebody who would lie and cheat and steal from anybody, including my family, my friends, my coworkers, anything, just so I wouldn't be dope sick. It's not that I wanted to, but the drug just takes over your mind. It makes you into a monster, basically. When I started doing all that is when I realized I had a problem. I went from being the guy in high school, always at parties with tons of friends, to having nobody in my life, and all because of my fault. Not because of them, it was my fault. Like before I came to Teen Challenge, I was homeless. I was living in my car, and I was just either on my way to jail or death, and I didn't see a way out of it. I thought that was going to be my whole life. But there is hope. Like I came to Teen Challenge, and like the man you see here today is not the guy who entered Teen Challenge. I'm a completely different human being. I am free from addiction now. Teen Challenge has given me my life back, and I can't even describe how great it feels. Now when I'm done Teen Challenge, I'm staying on as an intern temporarily, and I'm taking business school in Saskatoon. I have hopes now. I have priorities, and I have a life back. All thanks to people like Tommy, and my brothers here. Thank you. Yeah, it's crazy. Before I came in, I didn't think, like, oh, like a year of my life? Like, are you kidding me? But it's amazing how much you can do with a year. You can work on your mind, your body, and your spirit, and live in harmony. I never knew who God, like, what really God was before I came to Teen Challenge. I never grew up religious, but I get to learn about God now, and that's pretty amazing. I get to let him into my life, and he's taught me that, like, once you realize you can do anything, you're free. You can fly, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to fly. Thank you. Yeah, I'm just grateful to be here today. Thank each and every one of you for listening to our stories. And yeah, like Jason said, if you guys know anybody in addiction, tell them about Teen Challenge. Like, it saved my life, and it could just as easily save theirs. Thank you.
Thank you, Dylan. When he came into this program, he was so jittery and stuff. So I see this man up here, and he's just so calm and vibrant and full of life, because when he came in, he wasn't like that, right? And that's the Holy Spirit at work, amen? Right? He comes into your life, and he just fills your life with great, great things. Can we get next slide, please? Oh, how about the next one, maybe? So I love this part of it, because for so long we talked about women as well. Is that when's the Teen Challenge program gonna open? I forgot to do this part too. Sorry. If Dylan's program has touched your heart, if there's something about him, you know, reminds you of something, or you just want to help out and maybe sponsor Dylan, his number is 278. And if you'd like to meet me at the sponsorship table later, I'd be glad to help you guys fill out a thing for that. And now back to my ADHD and my thing about the women. So for so long, since Surge was actually running this, we were talking about opening up a women's center, and they had purchased a large building out in St. Louis, and then the community kind of was just in arms against it, and that never happened. So they were building up funds to open up a women's center. I'm here to tell you that they have started. Can I get the next slide, please? Okay, now this isn't the Women's Center, but this is as good as I've got. I'm going to have to drive out there. This was their shop. This was a few months ago. They started working on the shop. So they've built the shop. I don't know what's going on in the last few months, but I'm going to find out. So they've actually started. They've broke ground. They have the blueprints, I believe, and they're in springtime. They're going to be working on this Women's Center. Can I get an amen or something? Because my job as an addictions counselor in referring people, I've been referring people to Aurora, Ontario. I actually said it without stumbling. Aurora, for some reason, it gets me sometimes. So I've been referring people to Aurora, Ontario. There's this wonderful lady, Denise, and she comes out to some of our events. And so she had to, you know, I met her at the Larson House and referred her out to there. So she came back, and she's full of the Holy Spirit, and she's alive and, you know, doing great, and back into her family's lives as well. And we want to see more of that right here in Saskatchewan, right? We need more things like this. So if God is putting it on your heart to help out with the Women's Center too, there's going to be a need for women. Just as the men help the men at Teen Challenge, we're going to have a need for women to come alongside and to just love them, right? With these women, these moms, is going to be this bringing in their family too, right? So they need to repair all these things, and so it's gonna take a little bit more help. So if God can put that on your heart, maybe pray about that and how you can volunteer when that comes open too. That is wonderful. Next slide, please. So, what is it that's different about, say, Jason, who's been to some secular treatments and stuff? What is it different between the secular programs and this program? Now, I'm an addictions counselor, and I make referrals, and for some people, these things work and stuff. The AA program, I still go to AA every Wednesday, probably every second Wednesday, and I go there, and it's something for me to maintain. But the difference was with Teen Challenge is that I did feel that freedom, and I still have that freedom, but now it just gives me this fellowship. So those programs are great, and I want to thank you guys here because you actually have a 12-step program here. You guys used to meet on Tuesday nights. Now it's Monday nights. So if anyone here doesn't know about that, Monday nights you can come and come, Mr. Pilon, right? You can come here and get help with your addiction. We'll also leave some business cards for Teen Challenge. If you want to hear more about Teen Challenge, I'll leave my business card too if you guys would like to get some more addictions counseling as well. But what is it that makes this big difference with Teen Challenge? Because I was talking to a colleague of mine. His name's Dwayne Cameron, and he works inside the correctional. And he says that 8 out of 10 men that are in there are going to return within the first year. And I was one of those guys. I was in and out of there for 10 years of my life, in and out, in and out. And so he said 92% of them is alcohol and drug related. Now let me tell you about Teen Challenge. There was a white paper study done on Teen Challenge by Patrick Sheldon at Briarcrest. He studied the success rate of Teen Challenge, and there was a 70%. 70% success rate of people 5 years after Teen Challenge were living their life and they were addiction free. Can I get an amen on that? Right? Like, that's amazing. That's amazing. And how does it happen? It's the Jesus factor. You take away that Jesus factor, we're no different than any other program. Right? You take away that part. So when people are finished with Teen Challenge, they're going to need some support too. You know, they need a good church. They need a good church with a good, you know, good group to say, you know, why don't you come, you know, check out our church, right? So maybe this is that church. So I invite you guys to get to know these guys after. You know, some of them may make roots here, and maybe this is a great one. They can come see Mr. Pilon here and just to have some fellowship as well. Can I get the next slide, please? So I've spoke about this a couple of times. So... This is the backbone to this ministry. Really, is the sponsorship program. For $40 a month, you can sponsor a student out at Teen Challenge and help absolutely change a life. Absolutely change life. Pastor had also mentioned that if you wanted to make a love offering, you can mark it on your envelopes. And I thank you guys all that. But also, we need your prayers, right? It's not easy being inside this program with 22 men with a 24 capacity, you know, all under one roof. How much fun does that sound like, right? But the Holy Spirit is there, you know. And as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. And the relationships that you build inside this year are amazing, are absolutely amazing. You get to love one another, and you are closer than a brother, right? So if anyone would like to have more information about the sponsorship program, I will be at the sponsor thing. You can do it, you can do it just off your credit card or check. And I just want to thank you guys for bringing us in here. We'll respect the time, and we actually got out of here without our usual hour. So if we could ask the pastor to come back up, and thank you guys. The Green Bay Packers are playing today. If anyone, I'm praying that they win. Thank you, Pastor.
And thank you, Tommy, and thanks, gentlemen, for sharing your stories with us this morning. I'm going to invite the ushers to come at this time. They can grab the plates and run up here. And I invite the worship team to also make their way back up as we come to the conclusion of our service.